afternoon. If I could ask you to stay, remain standing, please. Take your Bibles with you. And let's open it to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we'll read verses 12 to 19 all together at the same time, please. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 19. Now, who can tell us what chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is all about? Give that man an A. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 12 to 19 altogether, please. In verse 12, begin. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Thank you. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word today. Let's remain standing as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come to thy throne of grace this afternoon, thanking you so much, Father, for your goodness, for all the things that you've done for us, even at this very moment. You brought us together again, Lord, to once again learn of you. We pray, Father, that you would bless our time together, and may you be exalted and glorified in our midst, and may you move in our midst, Lord, and help us to feel your presence. And may everything that we say and do this afternoon give you honor and glory. We commit the rest of the hour unto you. Lord, help us to, may this time really be productive for each and every one of us. For we commit all these things with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We were going to take a look at one specific individual whose preaching and teaching, false teaching, but because of the special event that we're celebrating this day, which is the Resurrection Sunday, I thought it appropriate for us to take a look at the resurrection, but this is not the preaching message, but this is a teaching, and we ought to learn from this. And I'm hoping that each one of us would find something new about the resurrection. Okay, so we've read about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, Christ rose on a Sunday, right? Okay, we're not sure yet, are we? So what does the Bible say about the resurrection? What day is it of the week? Okay, it's the first day of the week. So what is the first day of the week? Even in the Jewish calendar, it is the Sunday, right? So Sunday is so Jesus Christ rose on a Sunday. But here's the question. If Jesus Christ rose on a Sunday, when did he die? Okay, what does the Bible say about his death? How many did he spend?
3 days and 3 nights.
Okay, he spent 3 days and 3 nights. Now, if we know that 3 days and 3 nights he spent in the in the middle of the earth, right? So Would you be able to count 3 days and three nights from Friday to the Sunday? Okay, so that's more like a tradition. We've looked at the tradition of men, right? And some denominations claim that the traditions is far ways more than faith. Okay, and than the Word of God. And so, traditionally, they celebrate Friday as the death of Jesus Christ. But like I said, if he is 3 days and three nights in there, right? If we count 3 days and three nights from Sunday, then he would have died on the Thursday, right? On the Thursday, not day of the Thursday. Why? Because Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's 3 days. And Thursday evening, Friday evening, Saturday evening, that's three nights. And so it makes sense. But we're not promulgating that because we're not sure. Okay, it just doesn't make sense to celebrate the death of Christ or to look at the death of Christ as it happened on a Friday because it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. But keep that in mind because in Matthew 12, verse 40, let's go there, please. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40 says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Right? In the heart of the earth. So, it says there 3 days and three nights, but all the rest of the references, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 61, Mark 14, 58, John 2, verse 19, it talks about 3 days, right? 3 days. And 3 days, if we look at it in the Bible, it could be 24-hour day. And it is a literal 24-hour day, right? And if it's a literal 24-hour days, really, if we count back from Sunday, and we know we're definite that Jesus Christ rose on a Sunday, right? Because it says in the scripture. But the death, it doesn't say specifically what it was, what day it was. And so we can actually work back from the Sunday. And so we think it's on a Thursday, okay? So we'd look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest demonstration of the power of God, don't you think? It was the greatest demonstration of the power of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, it says there, Romans 1, 4, it says, let me read it to you. "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by what? By the resurrection from the dead." Right? By the resurrection of the dead. "Moreover, it is the power that a lost sinner is born again. For it is the power of God unto salvation," right? And we are born again and the believer is enabled, okay? So we look at the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, all four Gospels actually talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all these four individuals that actually was used by God to write these Gospels from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were all talking about the same event. They were all talking about the same event, okay? So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is given in each of the Gospels. Now, this in itself is significant because, number one, we see that the Gospels give eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness accounts for each and every one of them. Now, you have to understand that the Bible was sort of written but authored by God, right? But he used different men. And different men wrote as they were dictated by the Holy Ghost. But the thing is, He let this man write on their own skill or talent in writing. And so they have different styles, right? They have different styles, and God just let them write the way the way they write things, that, okay, according to their style. And so if we when we read this, there's seeming contradiction on all of those four gospel accounts, but really it's not. Because if you look at it, they are aware of this different, they have different styles. And they have different outlook, right? They look at things differently, okay? Not the same, but differently. But they were writing this event that on their own styles, okay? And according to their perspective, okay? So the gospel gives eyewitness accounts. And we'll talk about that as well. Now, the gospels also give straightforward accounts, straightforward. Nothing's made up, right? Nothing's made up, okay? So they can say that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they'll invent stories. They'll, you know, come up with a made-up story. But no, it wasn't. It was straightforward, okay? And thirdly, the gospel gives separate and independent accounts. Separate but independent. But they're all talking about the same thing. Now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28, please. The first gospel. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll read verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Okay, now, there's actually three questions that we need to answer, okay, when it comes to, well, the people say it's confusing, okay? There's a contradiction of the accounts. But really, if we look at it, there's no contradiction, okay? Number one is, what is the time of day when the women actually came to the tomb? Okay, but it says in one account, in John, it says, while it was dark. Right? Was it still dark when that early in the morning? Okay, sorry. All right, Matthew chapter 28, it says there, verse 1, the first day of the week, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. As it began to dawn, remember that, right? And then let's go to Mark 16, 1. Mark 16, chapter 1, chapter 16, verse 1, please. It says there, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint. And verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And so it says there very early in the morning, right, in Mark 16. In Luke as well, Luke chapter 24, let's take a look there so we can compare all these verses. Luke 24, verse 1. Luke 24 and verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So it says they're very early in the morning. And in John chapter 20, in verse 1, now I think there's no question that all these events were actually in all the Gospels. You can see them in verse 1, right? John chapter 20 in verse 1, it says that the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet, what? Dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, is there a discrepancy there between the four? Like I said, it's the different perspective, right? At dawn, some of the skies is bright, some still dark. And most probably, John was looking at the dark side, right? It was still dark. It was getting brighter, but it's still dark. And what he saw was exactly what he saw, right? But he saw the same thing as Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew, right? And so there's no discrepancy there because it points to the same thing. And guess what? It's actually the same time period. It was just a matter of perspective, okay? So when we put all the pieces together, the wonder of the resurrection shines out in even a greater glory. Now, the second question is that, the second question is, how many women came to see Jesus at the sepulcher, right? Now, I'm pretty sure most of us, like I was, okay, I didn't necessarily realize exactly what this was, how many women, okay, until I actually studied this, right? And so, let's take a look at let's take a look at John chapter 20. We're there, right? The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, one, early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, was he talking about other women here? No, right? So that means John was wrong, because he only saw one woman, and that's Mary Magdalene, right? But let's move on to verse 2. It says there, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and what was that next word? We know not where they have laid him. And so that tells us that Mary Magdalene was not alone. There were other ladies with her, okay? As we can actually see in the other gospel accounts, okay? Let's go to Luke chapter number 4. Sorry, 24. Luke chapter 24, and we'll go to verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Okay, and so they were giving they were telling the apostles what they saw when they went to the tomb. Okay, and so how many names were given to us here? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Now, who was Joanna? Joanna was healed by Jesus, and Joanna accompanied Jesus and his disciples in their travels. So that was Joanna, okay? And let's look for, and by the way, Joanna was the wife of Chuse, who was the, Chusa. And she was the what? Steward of Herod. Okay, he was the steward of Herod. Okay, and let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and here's another name, new name, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So how many names do we have now?
Four.
Okay. And To settle this, how many ladies were there altogether that saw Jesus Christ in his tomb? At least five. Okay, there were four, we know the names, and there were other ladies that were mentioned here that we don't know exactly. But we know the four. And Salome, by the way, who was Salome? She wasn't actually talked about in so many accounts, but I think there's only two verses in the Bible that mention the name Salome. Now, Salome was the mother of James and John. Okay? James and John. But Mary, in the other accounts, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who is the mother of James. Who was that? Who was the other Mary? Okay, earthly mother, right? Okay, because we know that James was the brother of the earthly brother of Jesus Christ. Okay, he was born after. Okay, so Salome was the wife of Zebedee, right? Because James and John were the sons of Zebedee. Okay, and so Salome was the wife of Zebedee, who is the mother of James and John. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 56. Matthew 27:56. Matthew 27 and verse 56 says, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Right? And so we know the two Marys and the mother of Zebedee's children was actually Salome. It was talking about in Matthew. Okay? So, now the other confusion that seeming contradiction is the question about how many angels were there. How many angels? Okay. Now the angelic appearances have also drawn criticism. Was there one angel at the tomb, as described in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, or two angels, as described in Luke chapter 24 and John chapter 20? Now, the answer here, we'll look into it. There were two angels. There were two angels, okay? And neither Matthew nor Mark, which said men, they were men of God, right? So the complete number does not appear in their accounts. It is not a problem that Mark and Luke call the angels men, because in the Old Testament they called angels men as well, right? In Genesis chapter 18 and Daniel chapter 9 verse 21. Okay, and so there's no contradictions there, but there were two angels in Luke chapter 24. Let's go there, please. Luke chapter 24. Now, like I said, we're looking at the same accounts, but from different authors, a different perspective, right? Luke chapter 24, verses 4 and 47. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining apparels, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And that was according to Jesus Christ, by the way. If you notice that, it was actually in red, right? So that was Jesus Christ. He said that. Now, the fourth question is, how heavy was the stone? How heavy was the stone? See, if it was just Jesus Christ alone as a man, he might not be able to move that stone because it was way too heavy. And actually, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 60, you're there? Matthew 27, 60, it was called a great stone. Right? A great stone. In verse Matthew 27, verse 60, it says there, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone at the door of the sepulcher and departed. Right? So it was a great stone. Mark 16, verse 4 also calls it the great stone. And Luke 24 and verse 2 calls it stone. John 20 and verse 1 calls it stone. But when they realized, look at the tomb, right? And it was, they say, about 1.5 to 2 tons. That was the weight of the stone. And nobody can actually roll that stone alone by himself, not even two. Okay, there has to be a lot of men. And if we look at Lazarus, remember Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. And before he did that, he said, roll away the stone. And what did Mary say? Mary said, he has been dead for several days. He would stink, right? Let's go to John 11. John chapter 11, and we'll read verses 39. Verse 39, it says there, Jesus said, this is talking about Lazarus, right? Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. In verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Okay, but in verse 38, it says there, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And in verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And she was not actually telling Martha to take away the stone, right? Yeah. Then in verse 41, it says there, then they took away the stone from the place. Okay, so not one person can actually move this. Now, the tomb, the stone that sealed the tomb of Jesus Christ, number one, it had a seal, didn't it? The Romans actually sealed the tomb. So nobody can tamper with that seal. Okay, it had a seal. And nobody can tamper it. And number two is nobody can roll it by himself. And number three, there were guards guarding that. Okay? And so nobody can take it, roll it away, take the body of Jesus Christ, and guess what? And claim that Jesus Christ resurrected, as he said. Okay? And so let's take a look. So we look at the testimony of the resurrection. Number two, let's take a look at the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the number one evidence that we know? That Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Come on. Not in the grave, which is the empty tomb. Okay? So there's the empty tomb proves that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And guess what? That tomb is still empty, even at this time. Right? It's still empty. So we know that the empty tomb is a proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the sake of time, we can't read the references, but I'll give you the references if you can jot it down. Matthew chapter 27 and verses 62 to 64. Matthew 28 verses 1 to 8. Mark 16, 1 to 8. Luke 24, 3 to 7. And John 20. These are all the gospel accounts. The same event talking about by four different people. Okay, and so they're talking about one thing. There was an empty tomb. There was an empty tomb. Also, the many post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. He appeared to many. Oh, and by the way, how long did Jesus Christ stay on earth before he ascended up to heaven? After his resurrection? 40 days. He actually roamed around 40 days. Now, why is that? Why did he stay 40 days before he actually ascended up to heaven? He wants to prove to all people that he is alive, that he resurrected from the dead. And so he took that long for him to show to all the people around. So he appeared to Mary in John 20, verse 16. He appeared to the women in Matthew 28, 5 to 9. He appeared to Peter in Luke 24, 34. He appeared to the two men in the road to Emmaus, right? Luke 24, 13. And he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Okay, John chapter 20, in verse 19, to the disciples and Thomas, remember? Thomas didn't believe him, believe until he sees that pierce, that mark on the pierce of his hand and feet, right? So John chapter 20, verses 26 and 29, he appeared to John and Peter in John chapter 21, verses 5 and 7. He appeared to the 11. Okay, by the way, who was the 12th apostle? Did I tell you this? Matthias. Okay, they chose between Joseph, Barsabbas, and Matthias. And it was Matthias that they chose, right? So, a whole company of believers in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 47. And by the way, like I said, Paul is also considered an apostle because he fulfilled those two requirements, the two qualifications of an apostle. First, he should have been taught by Christ, and he was taught by Christ in Arabia for 3 days. Okay? Oh, no, no, not 3 days. 30 days. I can't remember now, but he was taught, but also he saw Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8 says, and last of all, he said, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So he was one of the people that saw Jesus Christ. So he, in himself, fulfilled the apostleship, okay? So he can be called an apostle. We can also see the evidence of the resurrection preaching of the apostles. The apostles actually preached on the resurrection, right, of Jesus Christ. And it is actually central to the gospel. Now, also the witness of Jesus Christ himself, right? The evidence of the resurrection is the witness of Christ himself. Revelations 1:18, Matthew 16:21, and John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Now, we look at the nature of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, negatively considered, because there are people that doubt the resurrection. They say, number one, it was a resuscitation. Okay, it was not a resuscitation. It's negatively considered, right? Some believe Christ fainted on the cross, and guess what? He was revived at the coolness of the tomb. That's their belief. Number two, it was not an hallucination. Okay, people believe that the disciples had not been eating mushrooms. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb expecting to anoint a dead body. She did not expect to meet her risen Savior. It was not hallucination, folks. And others say it was a seance. Christ rose bodily from the sea. It was not a spiritual materialization. Fourthly, it was not a myth. It was not a myth. It actually happened. Okay? And by the way, this separates Jesus Christ from the rest of those that founded religions. Why? Because he was the only one that resurrected. In the same way that his birth was supernatural, okay, and his resurrection is also supernatural. It was unique, by the way. It's not rare. It never happened before and will never happen to anyone, okay, except Jesus Christ. So it was not a spiritual materialization. It was not a myth. And fifthly, it was not a removal of Christ's body. Okay, and you know what? The religious authorities actually believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Did you know that? What happened when they talked to the guards? They said they actually believed the guards that they weren't sleeping. Right? Because if they did not believe in the guards, guess what? They should have been killed. Okay, they should have been killed automatically. But they did not kill them, and they were bribed. They say, okay, well, tell them a different story. Okay? And so, knowing this, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's just the hardness of heart. Okay? They don't want to believe, but in the back of their minds, they probably believe. Right? Because they would have killed the guards, and they would have not believed them, but they did. Well, it is a blasphemy of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, it was actually those guards said they never slept, and the authorities believed them. Right? Because if they did not believe them. Okay, if they did not believe the guards that they were not sleeping, then they said, well, no, you were sleeping. And somebody has taken the body of Jesus Christ, right? And so they, in the back of their minds, they believe Jesus Christ. And they believe that one day, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again, right? And so there are the five possibilities. The disciples took it. The two Marys took it, Joseph of Arimathea took it, the Jews took it, and fifthly, the Roman soldiers took it. Now, the number five doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense, because they were trying to prove that Jesus Christ was wrong. And he when he said that he was going to raise up again on the third day, that he was just, you know, it wasn't true. It's not going to happen. And they were to make sure that that's not going to happen, okay? Positively considered, Jesus rose personally from the dead. He rose personally. Number two, he rose bodily, right? He rose bodily from the dead. And thirdly, Jesus rose visibly from the dead because people saw him right after. Bodily, and you know what? Why was the stone rolled away? Here's a question for you. Why was the stone rolled away? Because he was God, right? He was God. And he was actually, he actually did not, the loss of nature, that he can actually walk through objects, right? If that's the case, he could have just gone through straight the rock, okay? He could have just gone straight out the rock, and there he goes, okay? But if he did that, are people going to know that he resurrected? Because they're not going to open the tomb, right? They're not going to open the tomb, so nobody knows that he resurrected. But the reason that that door was open was because to let people know and that what he said was true. And that is why he stayed on earth 40 days after his resurrection. All right? So we don't have time, and I hope you learned something new here as I did, okay? And if you have any questions, ask away. All right, let's pray.